WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, as well as WPFW, 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C. It's now 7 p.m. Stay tuned.
Says Miles Davis. Well, so what? I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
I'm Ken Nash. We're building bridges.
During the weekly demonstration in Baitha, Palestine, on the morning of September 6th, 2024, the Israeli army shot and killed an International Solidarity Movement human rights activist, Aisenor Egi. The demonstration, which primarily involved men and children praying, was met with force from the Israeli army stationed on a hill. Initially, the army fired a large amount of tear gas and then began using live ammunition. The human rights activist was the 18th demonstrator to be killed in Baitha since 2020. She was an American citizen of Turkish descent.
In the midst of the ongoing genocide in Gaza and ethnocide in occupied West Bank, Palestinian workers have appealed for international solidarity. Their appeals have been met with an unprecedented response, even in the United States, where labor officialdom has long supported the world's last remaining apartheid regime.
This dramatic shift is reflected in a rally this past weekend as a prelude to a Labor Day march scheduled for September 7th, 2024 that turned out union labor and those fighting for union. More deeply, it echoes a longer history of U.S. rank-and-file working-class resistance to Zionism, the settler colonial ideology that underlies the Israeli regime, as well as solidarity with BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, people of color, and other grassroots social justice movements in the United States. Now, in the spirit of Aisenor Egi, as Rachel Corey martyred in 2003 while protesting house demolitions in Rafah, and in the name of Bana Amjad Baker, a 13-year-old, and the tens of thousands martyred while Palestinian, we rally with Labor for Palestine to say, no, no more genocide in my name. Boycott, divest, sanction for a free, free Palestine from the river to the sea.
Palestine will live forever.
Woo-hoo!
City Workers for Palestine. My name is Genesee. I'm an organizer with the Riders Against the War on Gaza and the New York City Labor for Palestine chapter.
We'll be your co-MCs for today.
But we're here as workers together to demand an end to all complicity in the genocide, to demand a free Palestine from the river to the sea, to demand an end to all weapons to Israel, and to say that New York City Labor stands firmly with the Palestinian people. But we know that Palestine is a labor issue, because an injury to one is an injury to all.
That's right.
The Israeli occupation is backed by the U.S. ruling class. And so we have the same enemy. It's the same people who are profiting off of the bombing of the children in Gaza, who are profiting off of the exploitation of workers here in the belly of the beast.
That's right.
Israel could not commit the genocide against the people of Palestine without the billions in U.S. military aid that our government is sending them. And that aid is coming out of our paychecks and should be funding our needs, should be funding our already underfunded education, public health, infrastructure. And as a city worker, we're forced to scrape by on what little public funding we can receive, while the U.S. military receives $1.5 trillion of funding each year. Shame.
Shame!
Palestine is a labor issue because many of our workplaces arm Israel, right? And it's not just if we work for weapons manufacturers. All types of factories, logistic companies, tech, academia, all provide the technology, weapons, transportation, research, tools that enable Israel to commit its genocide in Gaza. And they do this, they force us to make these tools without our consent, even though we're the ones who are doing the work. And we're also here, last but not least, because we know that as workers united, we can help to stop the genocide. Right? We are the workers who make society run, and we know from our history that mobilizing collectively has played a key role in every anti-war movement. So let's honor that legacy. Let's uphold the call of Palestinian trade unions to hold our institutions accountable for their complicity in genocide. And let's call on our workplaces and our unions to respect the BDS line. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to have Michael speak first for New York City Labor for Palestine and also Labor for Palestine National Network.
Union and worker siblings. My name is Michael Letwin. I'm former president, proud to be former president of UAW 2325. And here today with New York City Labor for Palestine and Labor for Palestine National Network, which is now made up of 40 member groups, more than, standing together to observe and uphold the Palestinian trade union call and picket line. Because it is a picket line. And do we cross picket lines?
No!
Do we walk picket lines?
Yes!
Do we ever cross a picket line?
No!
And we're here today to say that the Palestinian trade union call for solidarity since October 7th and for decades before is a picket line. And the most fundamental principle of being a union member and a worker is that an injury to one is an injury to all. An injury to one
is an injury to all.
That's right. We're here to say, end all union complicity for Zionism. End it now. Stop arming Israel. What does that mean concretely for unions that we're members of? Because this is a union event, so we need to be speaking to our unions and to our fellow union members and pointing out that what it means is, first, divesting our unions and pension funds from Israel bonds and all industries connected with Zionist settler colonialism, apartheid, and occupation. Is that right?
Yes.
Two, break ties that all of our unions have, to their shame, with the racist Histadrut and the Jewish Labor Committee, both of which have spearheaded the ethnic cleansing of Palestine. Is that right?
Yes.
Three, refuse to provide weapons, research, technology, and all other aid for the Israeli genocide machine. Is that right?
Yes.
Because we have to respect and acknowledge the fact that our own unions, while many of them are calling for ceasefire and even for stopping arming Israel, which is right, Nonetheless, our own members in many of the factories and universities do arm Israel. And that's not to blame them individually. They have a job. We all know what having a job is about. But it is up to our unions to organize our members and the rank and file to organize our members to stop arming Israel, not just as a word, but indeed. And finally, we need to end labor support for all the genocidal candidates in this upcoming election. You can't say you're for our arms embargo and then go out and endorse Trump, like the Teamsters seem to be doing, or endorse the Harris platform, which is the, she's the number two genocider in this country, in the administration. So we have to end that complicity. We have to stand with Palestine, and Palestine will be free. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Next, we're going to have Dan speak from the Association of Legislative Employees, the City Council staffers.
Woo! Thank you, everybody. Free, free Palestine! Today in this beautiful weather because we are on a mission, and the mission is to help free Palestine. And we know that our unions are absolutely critical to that effort. Let me introduce myself. My name is Dan Krupp. I have the pleasure of serving as the president of the Association of Legislative Employees, the New York City Council Union, representing 400 staff at the City Council here in New York who made history when in June we became the first New York City public sector union to endorse the divestment of our pension funds from Israel, from genocide, with over 80% of our members voting for divestment and ceasefire in a one vote per member referendum. That's what union democracy should be looking like. And the reality is, all of us here are leaders. We have to show the way. We are here on the day of the Labor Day Parade of New York City because too many of our unions are blocking our ability to have democratic votes about what to do with our pension funds. And that is wrong. So I'm very excited to use the parade today to share our demand for freedom for Palestine. There's a quote I saw the other day from the British-Pakistani writer Nadeem Aslam. It's very moving, I thought. He said, "Despair has to be earned. I personally have not done all I can to change things. I haven't yet earned the right to despair." And that's right. We're here on Labor Day 2024, almost a year in to the ongoing genocide against Palestinians and over 75 years of ethnic cleansing, many, many decades of occupation. We are saying as union members, as citizens, that that is wrong and that we will fight to end it together.
Right.
And we stand proudly in solidarity with our labor siblings to have the back of the Palestinian General Federation of Trade Unions, who have called for our help to end our country's complicity in Israel's genocide. So I would say I appeal to you, if you are a city worker, amazing work from city workers and all of the groups who have coalesced here today to pull off this rally and make sure that Palestine is heard at the big labor march. And that would be to please sign up with us, join the City Workers for Palestine. The ALE has joined the campaign to divest city pensions from genocide. It's critical that we use today as a rallying point. Get involved. We've got a great, exciting fall ahead. We have new union locals that are putting forward these resolutions to bust through the ceiling of their union bureaucrats' blockade of democratic choosing of their union members to decide where their retirement savings should be invested.
That's right.
We have to fight for that in our unions. So there's a lot more to say. We're going to hear from many more speakers, but let me say, as legislative staffers in the largest, most diverse city in the world, we won't stand by as a genocide unfolds.
That's right.
We have a responsibility to speak up, to demand an end to the violence that's resulted in the murder of 40,000 Palestinians and more, and of course, an uptick in hate crimes here at home. These things are interrelated. We need political accountability. We need political prisoners to be released on both sides. But I'm enthusiastic. I am not despairing. Are you despairing today?
No!
We are organizing
And we are staying steadfast, just as the Palestinians are doing on their land. We will be steadfast in our resistance and in our organizing. Free Palestine. Thank you very much.
Next we have Elias from the Writers Guild of America.
Thank you so much. All right, so my name is Elias Holtz. I'm with the Writers Guild of America East. I'm also with the Freedom Socialist Party in Harlem to stand up for our Palestinian siblings and end the genocide in Gaza.
Yeah.
There's no question that our unions have power. We have money. We have organization. We have members, right? There's no questions that unions have power. That's why the Democrats want our money. They want our turnout. They want the unions to back them. The question is, how will we use that power? Will we use that power to stop the war machine? Because we can. Will we use that power to stop our tax dollars from being paid for bombs that bomb children? Because we can. There's no question also that both parties care more about the companies that earn profits from war than they do about our unions and about workers. Right? There's no question that the Democrats are more in bed with corporations than they are with us here in the streets. The question is, are we going to break with that party? Are we going to divest our money from their reelection campaigns? Are we going to start talking about an alternative? And that alternative, I think, should be a Labor Party. Because if we don't have a political voice, then we have nothing. Right? And it's time that workers have their own political voice. A voice not just for our needs here, but a voice for workers everywhere, including Palestine. So Labor Party is an essential tool that we need to build. It doesn't exist. But one of the things the two-party system destroys, capitalist elections destroy, is our political imagination. And there's a lot of political imagination among all of you here, because you imagine a Labor Party bringing together all of our union struggles, consolidating that energy, that power, that excitement for one force to be an advocate. That's what Labor for Palestine has done. I want to shout out the organizers of Labor for Palestine right now for all their amazing work bringing these unions together. This is really unprecedented. We're having an impact. If you imagine how, you know, ceasefire was the demand of the day, now it's arms embargo. We're going to keep pushing the demands to the left. We're going to keep working. We need to work for, obviously, all aid to Israel being killed. I'm going to end with an oldie but goodie. Workers of the world, unite. Labor Party now, free Palestine. Thank you all.
Gaza's struggle is our fight.
Gaza's struggle is our fight.
Workers of the world, unite.
Workers of the world, unite.
Gaza's struggle is our fight.
Gaza's struggle is our fight.
Workers of the world, unite!
Workers of the world, unite!
All right, next up, we have Jeremy from the 32BJ Staff Union.
Long live Palestine!
Long live Palestine!
I'm grateful to be given the opportunity to speak to you all today here at this rally. It may come as a shock to you, but I, a union organizer, am going to take my time today to encourage all of you to organize your workplace.
Yes.
I truly believe that unions are what are going to allow us as Americans to end the occupation in Palestine. The power we have as workers is immense. However, it is only ever recognized when we are organized. So go and talk to your co-workers, because at least to me, to be organized is to have communities. Communities start by building relationships, and the relationships we build as co-workers is very unique and special. While being friendly often doesn't make your work easier, it isn't necessary to be friends in the workplace. But something I say is vital to labor is trust. The power our labor produces as workers cannot be fully held if we do not trust our co-workers. This is why being co-workers is so special, because we might not be close, but we must rely on each other for our livelihoods. So start organizing today, because our siblings in Palestine do not have the privilege to do so. This is why me and my coworkers at 32BJ are unionizing. Workers having a voice in their workplace empowers not only themselves, but it empowers those who do not have the ability to do so for themselves. It is this organized power that we have that we must use to pressure the powers that be to enact a permanent ceasefire and end the occupation. We are being told to go and vote for Kamala Harris and to keep in place the status quo that, quote unquote, protects us. But how can we expect them to truly protect us when they won't listen to us? A permanent ceasefire is a popular opinion among all Americans, and yet they refuse to listen to us. We are at a point where voting is not enough. We as workers must come together and use the power of our labor, that our labor produces, not only to secure ourselves, but to guarantee to those who cannot that we have their backs. The 32BJ Staff Union is proud to stand here alongside our labor allies to demand a permanent ceasefire and to end the occupation. We can do it. One union, one voice.
Next up, we have Nevruz for UAW Labor for Palestine.
My name is Nevruz, and I'm a member of UAW Local 2325 and a tenant rights paralegal. On May 4th, 1886, police shot and killed four workers as they struck for an eight-hour day. Far from being cowed, workers around the world declared May 1st International Workers' Day. Democratic President Grover Cleveland recognized the threat this solidarity posed, so he declared first Monday in September Labor Day instead. With this declaration, President Cleveland meant to distract and weaken us. But his zeal to co-opt our organization was also a recognition of our power. Throughout history, capitalists, imperialists, and exploiters of all stripes have recognized the threat posed by the international working class and sought to co-opt it. When Zionists first began their project, they sold it to workers around the world as a socialist utopia. Even as their kibbutzim were built on stolen land and cultivated by exploited Palestinian wage workers. Today, Zionist propagandists tell us their genocide is somehow self-defense. The Histadrut, a labor organization invented by Zionist elites to drive Palestinians from their jobs, tells our unions they're one of us. The Democratic Party tells us to keep supporting the Zionist entity, while AOC tells us to keep supporting the Democratic Party. Here in the UAW, the Justice Department has installed a federal monitor named Neil Barofsky, who lobbies our president to not support Palestine, while Congressional Representative Virginia Fox hauls us into committee hearings. Fox, Barofsky, Biden, Harris, AOC, and Grover Cleveland have all recognized the power of the working class and attempted to bend it to their will. Well, I have a message for them. We will not be bent. From the 1936 Palestinian revolt through today, Palestinian workers have resisted Zionist expropriation with demonstrations, strikes, and arms. The UAW, along with six other unions, has called for a ceasefire and arms embargo. The rest of the labor movement must and will follow suit. Our International Executive Board must and will divest our dues dollars and cut ties with the Democratic Party and all politicians who support genocide. Right. And today we will proudly carry our message of international solidarity on a day meant to suppress it. I hope Grover Cleveland is rolling in his grave, because Labor Day is our day. The labor movement is our movement. And we will never stop fighting until Palestine and every worker is free.
Good job.
Thank you. Now we have Genesee from the Writers Against the War on Gaza.
Union siblings, why do so many of our unions shut down conversation when it comes to Palestine? Why can't our unions commit to divestment from Israel? We are 11 months into the genocidal war on Gaza. Our grief grows every day. But so too should our rage. Every day, our resolve to organize our workplaces to for a free Palestine should grow stronger too. After all, Palestinian liberation is a labor issue. And as cultural workers, our labor helps uphold the rhetoric that justifies genocide. From publishing Israeli propaganda to silencing Palestinian voices, our bosses keep finding ways to demonstrate their commitment to Zionism. And so, if we want to see the fall of Zionism within our lifetime, we must first fight the bosses, regardless of whichever form they take. Which is why, when our union leadership turns away, let us remind them that as rank and file workers, we are the union. And we are outraged. Where is the outrage from our union leadership when we face retaliation for speaking up for Palestine? Where is the outrage from our union leadership over the death and destruction caused by our investments into the Zionist entity? Shame on our union leadership for doing the bare minimum with their words and nothing with their actions. Shame. During May Day, the Palestinian General Federation for Trade Unions asked us to move beyond words, right, to break ties with the Zionist entity, to uphold the BDS picket line. As union members, we walk picket lines. We don't cross them. Yes. It is absolutely dishonorable that the UAW and that SEIU have supported the racist history group and endorsed genocide, U.S. genocidal candidates. We are here to plant the seeds of liberation. We will never stop fighting until we see the complete divestment from the Zionist entity, halting of any relationship with the history group, and a free Palestine. As cultural workers, our task is not just to imagine a better world, but to also make one. So remember to dream. Remember to feel your rage and keep fighting until we see the fall of Zionism and the full liberation of Palestine. Thank you. Free Palestine!
As workers in New York City
and in the United States
in the United States.
Not because Palestine is freeing us all.
Because Palestine is freeing us all.
As a member of New York City Educators for Palestine.
As a member of New York City Educators for Palestine.
And of, as a member of the United Federation of Teachers.
And as a member of the United Federation of Teachers.
I have found in the past year.
I have found in the past year.
That Palestine has been the single most empowering.
That Palestine has been the single most empowering.
Force of unity.
Force of unity.
Among my fellow teachers.
Among my fellow teachers.
It is crucial.
It is crucial.
That we give Palestine what we owe.
That we give Palestine what we owe.
Because Palestine is freeing us all.
Because Palestine is freeing us all.
And so we must free Palestine.
So we must free Palestine.
New York City educators.
New York City educators.
Have been working to divest our pensions.
Have been working to divest our
through the TRS.
Through the TRS.
To divest those pensions.
To divest those pensions.
From the Zionist entity.
From the Zionist entity.
So Palestine will free us all.
So Palestine will free us all.
And we will free Palestine.
And we will free Palestine.
Free Palestine. Thank you.
Excellent.
Museum. Yeah. Unfortunately, not a member of a union, and so I serve as a cautionary tale. This week, I was fired from my job at the Noguchi Museum. I had worked there for the last 3.5 years as a cultural worker. When I began working at that museum, it was in 2021. The museum had a tone of hate has no place here. Black Lives Matter. Stop Asian hate. They started multiple initiatives in the direction of that. Now I stand here fired from that job for showing solidarity with Palestinian people as they're being genocided. I'd like to read from an excerpt of my termination I recorded because we are a single consent. Excuse me here. I'm trying not to be emotional. It starts with a character called Eric. He is an HR consultant that was hired 2 weeks ago. He is not my HR representative. He says, "Let me ask you something. Are you here to work?" Me and my coworkers, there's three of us total in the room. He says, "Do you know the policy about keffiyehs? Are you clear?" I said, "I'm not understanding." He says, "You're clear about keffiyehs and not wearing them." I said, "No, I do not understand. There's a policy about political." He cuts me off. He says, "Yes, keffiyehs are not allowed." "Because of keffiyehs specifically?" And he says, "No, paraphernalia. We had a talk about this last week. Now you guys have..." And then I cut him off and I say, "Are any sort of cultural garments okay?" And that goes within the... And he cuts me off. He says, "Unfortunately, the keffiyeh is also a symbol..." Well, this is actually the director, excuse me, Amy Howe. The director says, Unfortunately, the keffiyeh is a symbol of political, symbol, not just cultural." I think it's very telling that when people decide to start murdering people for their land, their identities and culture becomes political, and that speech is then censored. Speech against their murder is then censored. Myself personally, I began wearing the keffiyeh because I was raised Christian. I believe in peace. I'm not here to preach to people. That's just my beliefs. I began wearing it because I recognized that my tax money at that job go directly to hurting those kids, and I can't stand for it. I put it on in recognition of my right to religious freedom and my right to free speech. The museum had no policy before I put the keffiyeh on banning this cultural garment. It is only after a hate campaign was started against me that they came out with this rule. Tomorrow, we are planning to go to the museum. They have a performance at 3:00. We plan to picket outside. The Noguchi Museum is located in Astoria. It is inconvenient to go to, but we would want. They have fired 4 people so far in the last week.
Shame!
And we have to stand up as cultural workers. Isamu Noguchi was very anti-war, and so it is insane that on the 40th anniversary of his museum being opened, the museum is now taking a hateful stand in banning the culture of a people being genocided. Free Palestine!
Free Palestine!
Thank you.
Next up, we have Colin from SAG AFTRA and Sister Guild members for Ceasefire.
My name is Colin Buckingham. I'm an actor, filmmaker, and disability advocate. I'm a union member of SAG-AFTRA, the New York lead organizer for SAG-AFTRA and Sister Guild members for Ceasefire, and I'm part of Film Workers for Palestine. Yeah. As it has been said, an injury to one is an injury to all. In Palestine, we have witnessed fellow journalists, writers, poets, actors, dancers, and more injured and killed by the IOF. To this day, more than 116 journalists have been systematically murdered, all while wearing their press vests, all killed for reporting the truth and showing the world what the IOF doesn't want us to see. In Gaza, the IOF has directly caused more child amputees than anywhere or any time on Earth. These injuries, these deaths are all funded by our tax dollars, enabled by our politicians, enabled by our labor, ignored by our union leadership, and supported by our elected officials. Despite the majority of Americans supporting an immediate halt of weapons transfers, Biden, Harris, and Trump have pledged continual, unconditional military support for the IOF in defiance of international and U.S. law. All of us, actors, filmmakers, crew, creators, artists, have a responsibility to show the world as it is, as it was, and as it could be. And yet, our entertainment and news media actively censor the dystopian hellscape, hide the atrocities, and minimize the war crimes. Our employers punish and condemn those who fight against it and those who put a lens on the truth. For far too long, Hollywood has been a mouthpiece for imperialism.
That's right.
For far too long, Hollywood has been funded and directed by businesses and outside forces, including our military. For decades, the Pentagon has sponsored Hollywood films in order to be portrayed in a positive light. This is in stark contrast with our reality, where the U.S. military is directly responsible for the deaths of more than 4.7 million civilians in the post-9/11 era alone, and was recently praised by Kamala Harris as the most lethal military on Earth. As artists, we say no more, and we say not in our names. Not in our names will we sign on to or tacitly endorse films and media that have for decades dehumanized Arab, Muslim, and Swana people. Not with our voices will we accompany our union's silence while our fellow artist siblings are murdered. Not with our labor will we manufacture consent for the most well-documented genocide in our lifetime. We are SAG-AFTRA and Sister Guild members for Ceasefire, but as we all know, a permanent ceasefire isn't even the bare minimum.
That's right.
We are calling not only on our union, but on all unions to demand an arms embargo, to demand an end to the apartheid, to demand our elected officials restore honor to and uphold international law, and to demand an end to our tax dollars being used for war crimes. We call on all our fellow laborers to disrupt, to divest, to organize, to strike, to do all that you can to stop the ever-turning, money-siphoning gears of the U.S. war machine.
Yeah.
No one is free until we are all free. And in order for us all to be free, the machine must be dismantled.
Right.
Not another bomb. End the occupation. Stop the genocide. Free Palestine.
Yeah.
Terrific. Really good.
Free Palestine.
Free Palestine. Free Palestine.
I'm Dipri. I'm a Palestinian here on behalf of No Tech for Apartheid. We are a coalition of tech workers dedicated to reclaiming our labor from big tech companies who exploit us to create tools of oppression and genocide. Microsoft, Amazon, Google, and Meta are just to name a few. These companies build tools of suppression, surveillance, and violence to support Israel and their genocide of the Palestinian people. So in turn, it is our moral obligation as tech workers to do all we can to stop this by refusing to allow our labor to be exploited for genocide, by educating the people about these genocidal contracts and projects that these companies have within the with the terrorist IOF group, and by speaking out against these companies and their complicity, both from within their doors and out on the streets. And I look around and I'm so happy to see so many other labor sectors doing the same. From teachers, doctors, nurses, city workers, journalists, writers, actors, auto workers, even lawyers. The list goes on and on, all standing up together to demand justice and freedom for those who are complicit institutions are allowing to endure genocide. However, though our movement for justice is growing and has grown, our work is far from done. And I want to recenter and remind us all that the genocide is still raging on in Palestine. In Gaza, there are lines for miles of trucks of aid and medicine being blocked from entering due to Israel. In Gaza, bombs which are designed, manufactured, and sold in America are falling on schools, mosques, churches, hospitals, you name it. They bombed it. In Gaza, where my people are fighting tooth and nail every day to survive a genocide. Each and every day is a struggle there. And it's not just in Gaza. In Yatta, armed settlers who are guarded by the IOF are daily harassing and attacking Palestinian shepherds and farmers and communities, burning their farms, destroying their livelihood, and trying to ethnically cleanse them for their Zionist projects. Just yesterday, in Beita, an American citizen, Isenor Egi, was shot in the head while protesting illegal Israeli settlement. An American citizen shot in the head by an American bullet shot by an Israeli soldier. For protesting a settlement that serves as nothing but a terror outpost to ethnically cleanse Palestinians. And what will our government say? What will they do? Nothing. They'll just continue to send the bombs and bullets to the IOF for the slaughter of Palestinians. And so Isenor Egi is a hero, and I just want to make sure we all remember her name and that we are inspired by her, as well as the thousands of other martyrs that the Zionist Project has taken from us over the years. And we need to understand that their sacrifice is why we can never stop until there is justice for Palestine and around the world. Because their memory is not just honored by a ceasefire in a ruined Gaza. The genocide doesn't end with a ceasefire, and the genocide did not start in October, it did not start in 2006, or 1993, or 1968, or 1948. It started with the advent of the Zionist ideology in the 1800s, and we must know this. And it will not end until Zionism is the pariah idea that it needs to be, and Palestine is free from the river to the sea. And so it won't be easy, but we must keep working to do it. For him, for Rifat, for Isenor, and the thousands of martyrs before them. And they will try to silence us, big tech especially, but we must keep working for justice. And anyways, we already knew that the revolution wouldn't be televised. And we know that it includes a free Palestine. So free, free Palestine!
Okay, next up we have Induza from Mamas for Free Palestine.
My name is Induza. I'm here today as a mother, a former educator, and a proud member of Mamas for Free Palestine. We are a coalition of women from diverse religions, cultures, ethnicities, and our motto is simple. A mother's love transcends borders. Just last week, like so many of you, I dropped my child off to school to start of the year. I felt the usual mix of nerves and hopes as they step into their classroom ready for a year of learning and growth. But as I walked away, I couldn't help think of the mothers and fathers in Gaza who wouldn't have that same moment. Their children are not returning to school. while I was thinking about back to school days, 10-year-old Tala Abu Ajwa was begging to go outside and roller skate. She was bombed by Israel, killed in her pink rollerblades. She and tens of thousands of Gaza's children will never return to school. The lives of our children here in New York City are not more valuable than the lives of Gazan children. Every mother, no matter where she lives, wants the same thing for her children, to be safe, to learn, to thrive, and to dream. Yet, Palestinians are forced to bury their children, victims of apartheid and occupation. We are here today to demand action. I call on New York City unions to divest from Israel's brutal apartheid state. We cannot allow our pensions, our savings, and our labor to fund the destruction of Palestinian lives. Our money should not support Zionist settler colonialism or the genocide of innocent children. Our money should be supporting our communities, our healthcare, our education, and our livelihood. Yes. We must also refuse to provide weapons, research, and technology that fuel the U.S.-Israeli war machine. Our labor must not be complicit in the violence and oppression of an entire people. And finally, we say to the politicians, whether it's Trump, Harris, or anyone else who support this genocide, we cannot afford to have leaders who turn a blind eye to this suffering. Today, let us stand for justice. Let us fight for the freedom of every child, whether in Gaza or New York City, to grow up in peace, safety, dignity, and equity. We demand divestment from apartheid, from war, and from those who enabled these atrocities. Thank you, comrades, for organizing and continuing the fight and the good work. Thank you.
Next, we have Lisa with UAW 2325, Labor for Palestine.
Free, free, free Palestine!
Free, free, free Palestine!
From the river to the sea!
From the river to the sea!
Palestine will be free!
Palestine will be free!
Workers of the world unite!
Workers of the world unite!
Fight, 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 fight!
Fight, 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 fight!
My name is Lisa Edwards, and I'm a proud member of UAW Local 2325. Woo! UAW Local 2325 for Palestine. You know, our employers tried and are still trying to silence us. Hell, some of our own members, the Zionists in our local, have tried to silence us. They filed a meritless complaint in court to try to keep us from voting on a resolution to support a ceasefire in Gaza, to support the end of the Israeli occupation and the workers' right to engage in free speech and political speech. Our resolution to end the Israeli occupation and workers' right to engage in political speech and speak out against the genocide being committed by Israel in Palestine. They lost, dismissed, and our resolution passed. Yeah. Then they did an end run and filed a complaint in Congress, and they won't succeed there either.
Right.
Their McCarthy-inspired congressional witch hunt will come to an end. And our union will prevail because we are on the right side of history.
Yeah.
They try to silence us to keep us from speaking out against the genocide. They try to silence us to keep us from speaking out for a free Palestine. They try to silence us for calling on our union leadership to divest from Israel bonds and calling on the UAW to withdraw their endorsement of the Harris-Waltz campaign. Kamala says she will continue to support Israel while they continue to commit a genocide. Shame. Shame. But they can't silence us. They won't silence us. They won't stop us.
Right.
Because we all know, right, that the more they try to silence us, the louder we will be. What? I didn't hear you. The more they try to silence us,
the louder we will be.
One more time. The more they try to silence us,
the louder we will be.
So we loudly and boldly say, we stand with union members, workers, students, teachers, and professors across this country and around the globe, calling for the end to the occupation and the end to genocide. We demand that the U.S. government abide by the will of the people and stop arming Israel with all tax dollars. We demand that the UAW and every other union stop using our dues and pensions to invest in companies supporting the Zionist occupation, right, displacement, and genocide of the Palestinian people. Like Michael and other people in 2325, we support the Palestinian General Federation Trade Union's call for our unions to end our complicity and stop arming Israel. We demand an arms embargo, divestment, and sanctions. So what do we want in arms embargo, okay? What do we want?
Arms embargo.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want? Divestment.
Arms embargo.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do you want? Divestment. When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want? Divestment. When do we want it?
Now.
And if we don't get it,
shut it down.
If we don't get it,
shut it down.
I said if we don't get it,
shut it down.
Workers, unite. Fight, fight, fight. Free Palestine.
Yeah. And our last speaker today is Saima from Meta Stop Censoring Palestine.
Yeah. Who here has had content on their Instagram or Facebook accounts suppressed for posting about Palestine? And who here gets most of their news about what is happening in Palestine, education about what's happening in Palestine, and organizing for Palestine through social media? I believe this is a war of educating this country about what is happening in Palestine now and over the last 75 years, and changing the public narrative on Israel. And who most controls the shaping of public narrative other than Meta? Meta has been suppressing Palestinian content on Instagram and Facebook and denies that it is happening. Countless users. All I saw on my Instagram when this war started was Meta is suppressing Palestinian content. There have been Elizabeth Warren sent multiple letters to Mark Zuckerberg on explaining all of this concerns about suppression of Palestinian content. Human Rights Report wrote a 51-page report on the ways that Meta is suppressing Palestine. But internally and externally, Meta denies that this is happening. It does not address the public. When employees have raised this concern, they tell us, we are not censoring Palestine. You don't know what you're talking about. Back in December, I wrote a letter to Meta leaders about all of the suppression and how angry employees are, because they were deleting posts that we were writing internally. Even if we were trying to offer condolences to our colleagues, if I just said, I am sorry you lost family in Gaza, in my Muslims employee resource group, they would delete those posts. So we wrote a letter, and I collected over 450 signatures. Meta deleted that letter, kicked me out for 3 months, and refused to acknowledge that letter. Employees put together a 47-page report on all the ways Meta is censoring Palestine. Not only did they ignore it, when I made a personal copy of that report, Meta fired me. So internally, if this is how Meta moderates content for its employees, where it censors employees from speaking about Palestine, how do you think they're moderating what's happening for billions of users on our platform, that for users that want to talk about Palestine? So please follow us at Meta Stop Censoring Palestine, and we need to build more pressure against Meta with all its unchecked power on shaping public narrative. And Meta needs to respond to the public on these concerns and these very serious allegations of suppressing Palestinian content. Yeah. Thank you, and free Palestine.
Gaza struggle is our fight.
Gaza struggle is our fight.
Workers of the world unite.
Workers of the world unite.
Gaza struggle is our fight.
Gaza struggle is our fight.
Unite.
Workers of the world unite.
So we're about to wrap up here, but I just wanted to remind everyone of what our demands are from the labor movement, and that is for our unions to divest our pension funds from Israeli bonds and industries connected with Zionist settler colonialism, apartheid, and occupation. To break union ties with the racist Histadrut and the Jewish Labor Committee, which is the U.S. arm. To refuse to provide weapons, research, technology, and all other aid for the Israeli genocide machine. And no labor support for the Harris/Wolf campaign, for the Trump campaign, and any other genocidal political candidates. Those are our demands. And as we go back to our unions, remember them and uplift them within your union to create change. For them to go beyond the words and to make material change within our unions. Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free, free Palestine!
Free, free, free Palestine!
Gaza struggle is our fight!
Gaza struggle is our fight!
Workers of the world unite!
Workers of the world unite!
From the bombs on Gaza's children!
From the bombs on Gaza's children!
CEOs make their billions!
CEOs make their billions!
From the belly of the beast!
From the belly of the beast!
Hands off the Middle East!
Hands off the Middle East!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free, free Palestine!
Free, free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free, free Palestine!
Free, free, free Palestine!
Free, 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 free Palestine!
And we're free, 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 free Palestine. And I'm fired up. Won't take no more. We have a duty to educate, agitate, and organize for a free, free Palestine. Not another nickel, not another dime, no more money for Israel's crime.
I'm Ken Nash, and with Maria Rosenberg, we're building bridges to educate, agitate, and organize for a free, free Palestine. From the river to the sea.
And that's exactly what we're going to keep doing. This is not an academic exercise. It's a call. It's a call to unite, fight, fight, fight for a free, free Palestine. Thanks for inviting us into your house. Love being with you. For building bridges, stay strong, pay close attention.
Hi, listeners. I'm Rachel Barr. I'm running for a second term on the WBAI LSB on the Justice and Unity slate. I have been involved with BAI for 42 years as a listener, volunteer, producer, and employee. A co-LSB member didn't like the wording in the motion for the Loft Task Force, which did outreach and planned fundraisers. Unfortunately, that issue won't be solved anytime soon. I hand out BAI flyers wherever I go. I have musicians and authors waiting in the wings for time time, date, and location. The musicians, authors, nor venue will charge WBAI. Due to two co-LSB members never attending the Committee of Inclusion meetings, WBAI is out of compliance with the Pacifica mission statement. They need to either give up their spots or attend the meetings. It's called democracy. During LSB meetings, LSB members must be permitted to answer to listeners' comments and or questions. If this is not permitted, that's unfair, undemocratic, and doesn't help build community. Thanks for listening.